We begin with redemption. The prophetic plan of God is only effectual if you are a child of God. And then we spoke about the recurrence, or we began with the redemption, that we are a people of hope. We are a special people, a privileged people, a purchased people, a treasured people, a people whom God has marked as the apple of His eye. And then we spoke about the recurrence, the signs of the times, how we are faced all over us with the reality of the coming of the Lord. And we cannot be living like ostriches, not wanting to know the reality. Because when judgment comes, well, to the unprepared, it would be like the thief in the night. And, you know, like what a thief would do, we would suffer loss. And so we don't want to suffer loss at that time of reckoning. So when we understand the recurrences that is happening around the world, the signs of the times, it's not business as usual, but really we are moving headlong towards the judgment that would come at the second coming of Christ. His first coming is as a lamb. The second coming is as the lion from the tribe of Judah. And therefore, the Lord wants us to be aware that a time of judgment, a time of reckoning is drawing nigh. And He wants to prepare a nation of people, a holy nation, a holy priesthood, ready to inherit the kingdom that He has prepared for us. And then we spoke about the rapture, how the Lord would come again, and we shall all be changed. We spoke about the glorious body, how there will be no more pain, no more sin, no more sorrow. And that body that we have is a supernatural body, the same kind of resurrected body that Jesus had before His ascension, or when the disciples saw Him before His ascension, that glorified body. And the Lord would also be giving to us His rewards. And we spoke last night how we don't want to suffer loss. We don't want to misuse the time, the stewardship that He has given to us. But we want to appreciate all that He has given to us and to use it wisely to accumulate heavenly resources, heavenly reward. In a time when He comes, we would inherit the true riches. We spoke about how now we are given that stewardship with all our resources. And these resources are not ours, but from the Lord. But when the Lord comes again, these resources that, or this inheritance that He would give to us, this possessing of the kingdom, would be ours for the keeping. And if we are not faithful now with what He has entrusted to us in stewardship, then we will not be faithful in ownership. And so the Lord wants us to think and consider how we are using our lives. Is our lives aligned to the purposes of His kingdom? This is all that matters in the final analysis. And then we saw this morning, earlier, the return. How when God would take the church away, a time of great judgment would befall upon earth. Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 19 describes to us this judgment, how it would fall with great intensity. And when it comes, you know, if God had not shortened it to just 3.5 years in the second half of the tribulation, the world would be in great trouble. And then we saw how all this would culminate in the return of Christ, when Christ would come physically upon earth. Before he touched down, he would come with his army, as we saw earlier, and how the army of Christ, with the angels and the saints, Christ as his captain, would defeat the armies of the world, 200 million of them, marching towards Jerusalem, and the battle, the contention is for Jerusalem, the capital of the world. And so you see the movement toward that great conflict that is taking place. You read the newspapers, the developments in the Middle East, the developments in China, in Russia, and all these events are pointing toward that eventuality. And then Christ would come upon earth, defeat the enemies. And after he defeated the enemies, he would physically land upon the Mount of Olives, as the angels said to the disciples. This would be the fulfillment of his return. And then the promised land would be transformed. The landscape in the promised land would be changed. The Dead Sea would no longer be dead. It would come alive. And Christ would recreate the landscape of the promised land. And he would rule from there, from Jerusalem. And this picture that we have gives to us that transition between the tribulation period and the millennium. You see this in Daniel's prophecy, chapter 12, verses 11 to 13, to describe a time when Christ would judge the world's army. You notice that, you know, they would be consumed away while standing. So the Bible also described the bloodbath that is there in the promised land, reaches all the way to the legs of the horse, right? It is a bloodbath that covers the entire promised land, and it would take some time to clean up, right, before the beginning of the millennium. And so there is this time period, the time difference, right, between the 3.5 years that was given in the book of Revelation and the time that was given in Daniel's prophecy from verses 11 to 13. Well, it is that transition into the millennium. And so we come to this message 6, the reign of Christ upon earth, the millennium. This is the kingdom that we spoke about earlier in Daniel's prophecy, how there would be that final kingdom, the kingdom of God. And this would be the eternal kingdom that would rule. This is the past 6,000 years of human history. How you would observe empires come, empires go. And we are in this period of the Roman Empire, moving very close towards the toes, the 10 toes. We are close to the end. Let us turn to Revelation chapter 20. As we consider what are the facts that has been recorded concerning the millennium to come. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. And I saw an angel came down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Remember, we said earlier that both the the beast and the false prophet would be cast into the lake of fire when Christ would come. But Satan, right, Satan would be bound, okay, It is only at the end of 1,000 years that Satan would be cast into the lake of fire. And verse 3 says, the devil, Satan, was cast into the bottomless pit, and the Lord would shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he should be loosed a little season. And so Satan would be bound up during this period called the millennium. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgments are given unto them. And I saw the souls of men, them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So Christ would come and he would be ruling upon earth for 1,000 years. And the saints would rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall rule, shall reign with him 1,000 years. So what is that blessed hope? Verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? This is the rapture of the church, when Christ would come to receive us, meet air. 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 to 18. This is what is described here. If you are a child of God, born again, then when Christ would come to receive his church to glory, you would be going there with him. But they shall be priests. Right? And it says here also, the second death hath no power. Remember, we were discussing about the three deaths, the spiritual death, the physical death, and the second death. So this is the description of the second death. The second death is a description of eternal death, right? Eternal judgment in the lake of fire. Right? And so here, the Lord tells us that we shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It is a truth that God wants us to understand, a truth that God wants us to meditate upon, to know that we who are now upon earth as his children are looking forward to a time when we would rule with Christ upon this earth for 1,000 years. The Bible Presbyterian Church, at her inception in 1937, imbibed the dispensationalist doctrine of the pre-millennial return of Christ. Remember, the Reformers, they don't talk about the millennium at all. To them, it was a closed book, the book of Revelation, because Israel was not in the land during the time of the 16th century Reformation. But we lived in such a time when Israel is back in the land, and by faith it was stipulated, right, and understood by a group of theologians to know that this 1,000 years that we have read here in Revelation chapter 20 is to be understood and regarded in its literal sense. And so, with the establishment of the nation of Israel on the 14th of May 1948, the prophetic clock starts ticking again. And we praise God for this spiritual heritage that gives to us a proper biblical perspective to view this decaying world. How are we to see this decaying world? Well, the belief in Israel's restoration at the second coming of Christ is a truth that the Lord wants us to hold on to, because it is a truth that is taught to us in the scripture, that Israel would have a preeminent role during his millennial reign. And this is the doctrine that is called covenant premillennialism. This is what we believe in. This is what we could understand from the scripture concerning the future. And we believe that it is the truth. God has not forsaken Israel, although Israel has rejected her Christ. And so, as you read the Bible on your own, you'll find that all references to Israel being restored to head the nations of the world in Christ's millennial reign means exactly and literally as what we shall see in the scripture, especially what we have read in Zechariah chapter 14. The nations of the world would gather against Israel, and then Christ returned to save Israel from destruction. The Lord wants us to understand that there is a time coming when He would rule upon earth. And this term millennium literally means 1,000 years. And this is the period of the worldwide reign of Christ together with His people. Revelation 20 verse 6 says, "Blessed are and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, that would be raptured. On such, the second death hath no power." Because there is going to be another judgment coming, which we will speak about tonight, the great white throne judgment. "But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Man in his fallen estate is not transforming the world into a better place. The attempts of men to live in peace with one another has ended in failure. And the world has about 6,000 years of history to attest to this failure. The world is not getting better, but worse. And the Lord tells us that a time is coming when we would reign with Him on earth. The other text that I would like you to turn to is Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. 4 and 5 describes the worship in heaven, the preparation before the tribulation and before the return of Christ. And it is a foretelling of how we would be ruling. Inheritors of the kingdom. Verse 10 of Revelation chapter 5 says, "And Christ has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now we may be called princes, right? The true riches has not been given to us. We have not received our inheritance yet. But the time will come when the Lord would give to us the true inheritance. And so, you see here in this picture, the 1,000 years of Christ's rule upon earth. Satan would be bound And what would be the character or characteristic of the millennium? Well, you'll find that the millennium is reserved for God's people. We would enter into the millennium. Christians will rule with Christ in the millennium. Jerusalem will be the capital of the millennial kingdom. Satan will be temporarily bound during the 1,000 years. And man would live to a ripe old age. The curse upon earth will be removed. You turn with me to Revelation chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 20 to 22. It says here, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, by reason of him which has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." So this is a description of the millennium. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now." Right? We saw earlier in our chart how the world since the fall has been in that state of groaning, in that state of bondage, in that state of pain until now. And the time will come when the Lord would restore His kingdom. That's why we pray, "Thy kingdom come," that the Lord may hasten to that coming of His kingdom. And what else do we know about the millennium from Scripture? That it is a time of peace upon earth. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4 tells us. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4 says, we read from verse 2, okay, 2 to 4. This is a description of the millennium, when Christ would rule. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it." So Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. The nations of the world would come to pay tribute to the Lord Jesus. "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So Jerusalem will no longer be a place of war and pain, but it will be the citadel of God's peace, where Christ ruled the world from there. And verse 4 says, "And He shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords unto plowshares, and their spears unto pruning hook. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall there be war anymore." And so you see that the millennium, in the millennium, Israel will be featured prominently, because they would be the leading nation of the world. And what are the effects of the millennium? No more curse. No more blindness. Christ would rule visibly upon earth. No more apostasy. No more wars. No crime, no rebellion. No debts, no bankruptcies. Right? No repossessions. You see, the world today is moving headlong towards bankruptcies and repossessions and great debts. The first world nations are falling apart. In the millennium, none of these things. There would be a physical restoration of the earth, right? As we said earlier in the book of Zechariah, the night, there would be light in the night. Right? There would be a special atmosphere that the Lord would create in the world. Right? It would be different. Okay? And there would be nations restored, as we have read in Isaiah chapter 2, to worship the living God. There would be knowledge and worship of God. And, you know, Christ would rule by His character, by His goodness, by His righteousness, by His fairness. No need for any contention. There will be social reconciliation. There will be economic resolution. The millennium is a time for the restoration of all things. If you were to look at the the history of planet Earth, it has been since the beginning when God created it. You see how it has moved from one point to another to fulfill the redemption plan of God. Finally, after the millennia, the earth will be destroyed. The heaven and earth will be destroyed. And then God will create the new heaven and the new earth. The Lord wants us to understand His plan. And tonight, we would dwell more concerning the eternity to come. Let us pray.